This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Chapter 6, verses 47 to 69. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said that to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you. If you'd like to, we, as I mentioned earlier, we're in the book of John chapter 6. And I'd encourage you, if you'd like, to open up there and follow along as we dig into God's word. It's really amazing how words can change the way one views reality. How you describe something can really change your perspective on it. There once was someone who saw a used car ad that was for sale. And the ad read something like this. This car runs okay and the tires are pretty new, but that's about it. It has no radio. The acceleration is sluggish. The clutch is sticky. The back trunk door latch doesn't work. You must prop it up with a stick. Its gas mileage is probably no better than 10 to 15 miles per gallon. In general, it's an American car made during the time when American cars were built very poorly. The $500 price quoted above is just because all my friends tell me that a running car must be worth at least $500. I suppose I'll bargain with you to lower the price. Now imagine you take that same vehicle, same state, and you word it this way. This car is fully equipped with nearly new tires, giving you peace of mind as you travel with your beloved family and pets through all terrains and types of weather. Right above your temperature controls, an empty space is available for you to customize the stereo system of your choice, granting you the privilege of having an experience with music best suited to your personal tastes. The school zone friendly engine backs the blue with law-abiding acceleration, personally modified to keep children safe and save you money from lack of ticketing. A special wooden support device is included at no additional cost that conveniently reinforces the trunk hood, ensuring a safe place for you to work while you store precious belongings in your trunk. Made on American soil, your purchase will support our country and the freedoms we enjoy, especially as the nickel and dime repairs associated with this model brings a nostalgia of the times when American values meant sacrifice and hard work. Willing to sacrifice this treasured vehicle to noble buyer who will appreciate character and longs to carry on this car's priceless legacy. Limited time offer, $49,999. It's amazing how words can change the way one views reality. What you just heard is an exaggerated illustration of what's going on in a lot of churches in America. People are being presented the Word of God, and they don't like it, and so they're leaving. Or they're finding churches that just do not present the Word of God as it is written. People have been convinced to follow the Lord with promises of health, wealth, and prosperity. But then they're disillusioned when trials come and tribulations come, difficulty and persecution. When we meet the real Jesus, will we continue? Or will we walk away? In our text, many so-called followers of Jesus stopped following him. And it's because they were presented with a glittery version of who the Messiah was to be. So what Jesus is asking me and you this morning is this question. Do you also want to go away? Do you also want to go away? What's going on in this text is that Jesus, the Messiah, came. He is the one to bring salvation to the world. And he came and he started teaching in the synagogue, and one of the things he said is that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor. And as he went out into the towns and the villages, he went with healing miracles. He went with, he was casting out demons that people were bound with for many years. He even was going against the religious elitism that was prevalent in that day. He was relatable to the average Joes of society. And he performed amazing miracles. He claimed that he was the Messiah. And what we read here in John 6 is that he had a great following. If you go back to the beginning of the chapter, you read of this great following that was behind Christ. In the first verse, Jesus went to the Sea of Galilee, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And he went up on the mountain and he sat with his disciples. And he looked at the great multitude and he asked Philip in verse 5, "Where shall we buy bread that all these individuals may eat?" But he was testing them, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered to him, he said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient to feed them. So one of the disciples, Andrew, came and said, "Well, here's a little boy who has 5 loaves and 2 fish. But this is nothing to feed this multitude. There was about 5,000 just men in that group. Doesn't describe the women and children. So he took the loaves, and when he gave thanks, he distributed them. He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples took them and gave them to the people. And the Bible says that every single person had plenty to eat. It was an amazing miracle. The people were fascinated. He had a great multitude following him. But then something happened. As they were following him, he started teaching about why he gave them the bread. He started saying things like, "I am the bread of life." He said, "If you believe in me, you will have eternal life." He said things that were beyond our comprehension of, "If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have life in you." And it started to rub against people. His teachings became so unusual. Indeed, they became offensive. And in verse 66 of John chapter 6, we read this. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." And Jesus asks us this morning, do you also want to go away? Why did they walk with him no more? What were the reasons? Well, the first reason they walked with him no more is that they were only interested in the temporary benefits that came from association with Jesus. They were only interested in the temporary benefits that came from association with Jesus. Look there in verse 22 of John chapter 6. We read this. "On the following day, when the people were standing on the other side of the sea, they saw that there was no other boat there. So they were looking for Jesus. They couldn't find him. So they followed after him. And in verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they say to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' Jesus answered and said, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled.'" The people were seeking him because they got their bread. They got their stomachs filled. They were satisfied. A lot of people go to Jesus for that reason. They go to Jesus because there are certain benefits that come from being associated with him. If you follow Christian principles, you'll have a better life in the sense of you'll work harder and you might follow certain principles of health, or you might find a satisfaction in being in a social context of a church. But that's not what Christ is here for. He's not here to just give us bread. He's here to give us himself. So what happens when those benefits run out? He says this in verse 27, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." You see, bread gets moldy. It gets crusty and hard. It gets inedible. And when the bread gets inedible, people stop following. When the benefits run out. You all understand that a government system that just gives out benefits, just free. Here are all the things I can give you, all the things I'll hand out to you. Within the person who receives the constant stream of benefits, they don't gain an appreciation for the government. They don't gain a passion for their country. They're just glad for the benefits. What happens when the benefits run out? And you know, in a government context, when you are able to contribute and further the cause, there's more of an appreciation, even if it takes sacrifice. We can't guarantee that anything in this world will last, any earthly created thing. Moth and rust destroy things in this world. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. All of you know that, and this has happened to me more than I wish, but you accidentally leave something in your pocket. And wives, many of you know the frustration when you do laundry and you open up the washing machine and you go, oh my, he left a pen in the pocket. There's no guarantee. Things go through the laundry. And the earthly things, the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. For me as a parent and for us as a church, we want to further truth in a way that it makes people realize that this world is not all that there is. I want to raise Finney knowing that there is a life beyond this world worth living for. And that what we do in church and our relationship with Jesus at home is not just for the things that could come as a result, but because of He Himself is our Lord and we love Him. What reasons do you associate with Jesus? Are they things that will last for eternity, well beyond the door of this world? Or are they only benefits that matter in this life? When being a follower of Jesus involves a threat to our livelihoods, or an interference with our finances, or a change of our schedules, or a filter of what we can watch or listen to, or a standard of who we associate with, or where we will go, when those things happen, as we watch multitudes of people leave Jesus to find a spiritual friend with benefits, what will we do? Jesus is asking us, do you also want to go away? Or will you still follow me, no matter the cost? The second reason they walked with him no more was because they wanted credit for their religion. They wanted credit for their religion. Look in John 6, 28, verse 28. Jesus told them not to labor for the food which perishes, but the food which endures to eternal life. They said to him, what shall we do then? What shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus looks at them and says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Look at the way they worded the question. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said, this is the work, singular, that you believe in him whom he sent. They wanted to know how they could follow their religion in order to do the works to gain the reward. And Jesus is saying, no, it's about believing in me. Christianity is the only religion where God says, here are my terms. You can't work to earn a place in heaven. It's not about trying to be a good person. It's about my son Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you believe in him? Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? In verse 47, Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Now, of course, we as Christians know when you believe in the Lord Jesus and he causes you to be born again and you love him and you want to serve him and you want to live for him and you want to work for him. But that's after the fact. Jesus says first, it's about me. It's about me giving my flesh on the cross. It's about my blood being spilt out, that if you believe, in a sense, spiritually partake, that's the whole illustration there, that you will have everlasting life. When I was young, I used to be in martial arts. I was part of Taekwondo. And in Taekwondo, as you progress, you get different color belts. As you do better and you you pass your tests, they give you another color, and you work your way up the colors until you get the black belt way at the top. And a lot of people approach their relationship to God with that. What's my next notch? What's my next belt? I want to work my way up the ladder. There are so many that they're based in doing your best, doing your part, earning your way. Even within Christianity, you have these denominations that are based in doing this, doing that, praying this prayer this many times. What if the actual essence of Christianity, of worshiping our Creator, of having a home in heaven, is not about the good things we do as it is, it's rooted in what someone else did. And that we partake of that work. And that we rest in that work. And it is a gift, for you are saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When we realize that Christianity is about everything Jesus did for us and doesn't give us any credit for us earning salvation, if that rubs against us, Jesus will say, do you also want to go away? Are you going to go somewhere where you can gain your trophy? Or will you still follow me, even if there's no trophy at the end? The third reason they walked with him no more was because that they realized his teachings were hard to understand. They realized his teachings were hard to understand. Look in John chapter 6, verse 60. Then many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? What was it that was hard? Well, Jesus was saying about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And he told them later, he said that the words I speak to you are spirit. I'm giving you an illustration here, guys. This is not about literally taking my arm and gnawing on it. This is about believing in me, partaking of me, that I did everything and I give you life and believe in me. And they said they didn't understand it. And so in verse 61, Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, and he said, does this offend you? It was offensive to them. You see, Jesus' words are sometimes hard to understand and break through. And they rub against human nature. How many of you enjoy a good bag of Chex Mix? When you're traveling along, you get that bag of Chex Mix and there's all those different... Well, how many of you are like me, where you like the light-colored and the dark-colored Chex, but then you get to those ribbed breadstick things, and you're kind of like, that's okay. I'll tolerate that. And then you get to that, I don't know why they even put it in. You know what I'm talking about. The brown bread little slice there. That's the one you leave in the bag. And you say, this is good for the birds. There are probably some of you sitting and say, that's my favorite one. Some people approach Jesus like a bag of Chex Mix, because they're going to pick out the things that they do like and they're going to leave the stuff that they don't. And whole churches are built on that. Or all you ever hear and all you'll ever do is the things that are pleasant into our natural ear. But we can't just take one and leave the other. We must embrace the whole thing. The whole bag. There's this movie called Pollyanna. Many of you have probably seen it. It's a classic. There's this scene, it's unforgettable, where Pollyanna is sitting in this church, and she is kind of like a blessing to this community. And she comes to this church, and the minister comes out, and he is being pressured by a wealthy woman in the town to preach fire and brimstone, because that's what the woman wants to hear. So he comes out on the pulpit, and there's this long pause. And he comes to the pulpit, and he looks down at the congregation, and he immediately shouts, death comes unexpectedly. And he starts preaching this hellfire sermon with such power that the chandeliers in the church are literally shaking. But you know, when I listened to that sermon and I listened to the words that he's saying, did you know everything he said was true and biblical? And of course, later on, she meets the minister as he's preparing a sermon in the field and tells him how her father was a minister and how he decided to look at the happy verses in the Bible that say, you know, praise the Lord and God is good and shout to the Lord with joy. And it changed his thinking. And I think we need to be willing to embrace both the stuff that is those good verses that she brought up and those verses that are very difficult. Because Jesus spoke both of them. For example, something Jesus once said was, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Jesus also said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Jesus said, "Judge not, that you be not judged." And that resonates well with our world. But Jesus also said, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." But there was one who came to Jesus and said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." And Jesus said to them, "No one, having put his hand to the plow, having looked back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus said, "For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." But Jesus also said, "Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him." Jesus said, now this is in the same section, the same discourse, Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come." Jesus said, "He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." And Jesus also said, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. For it is better for you to enter into life crippled than to have having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched." Now the question I have for myself and for you is this: will we say amen to all of it? Will we say amen to all of it? The whole Bible is God's revelation to us, and filled with it is the love of God who loves all of mankind, but also the knowledge that God is holy and just. And will we say amen to all of it? And Jesus asks us, when we hear those verses that are troublesome, do you also want to go away? Or will you accept everything that I have written for you? So these reasons people stopped following Christ, but there was a response that Peter gave, because he turned to Peter and he asked him that question. He said, "Do you also want to go away?" Now look at what Peter said. Look at Peter's response in verse 68. Peter answered him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" I find that statement fascinating, because Peter did not deny that it was difficult. Peter did not deny that there was a struggle. Jesus said, "Are you going to leave too?" And he said, "To whom shall we go?" He didn't say, "No, because we understand what you're getting at." He said, "To whom shall we go, Lord?" And I think that's great, because you know what? Sometimes we as Christians, we struggle. I know I do. There are things that we read in this word, and it sometimes it doesn't rub well with our human nature. It reveals something inside our hearts that needs to be fixed. But that's good. When we have these struggles, when we have these questions, at the end of the day, who's right? Me? A mortal man? Or Almighty God, who is good and right and knows what's best? To whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? We're going to walk away from God? Where are we going to go? He says, to whom shall we go? And then he says this, to whom shall we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. You catch that? He says, you have the words of eternal life, regardless of the fact that it can be difficult sometimes to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus made it clear. He says, I alone possess the life that you need. I alone in the way. I alone in the truth. I alone in the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I have myself as a gift for you. I am the door that you may enter. I am the shepherd that you as a sheep may follow. Peter says, you have the words of eternal life. Why would I argue with him? That's like, imagine you're standing before Noah. And Noah says to you, come into the ark. It's going to flood. The whole world is going to flood. And you look at Noah and you say, I don't like what you're saying. I don't like these words that you're saying, these words of a coming flood. And Noah's there in the boat and the door is slowly closing and he's saying, come! And it starts raining and you stand there and you say, I don't like what you're saying. And so many people are standing there looking at Jesus who died on the cross and offered the way of eternal life. And they're saying, I don't like what you're saying. And Jesus is saying, come. Come unto me. Then Peter climaxes his response in verse 69. Peter says to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, I don't understand what you just said about the flesh and the blood, but I know you, Jesus. I know you. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You saved me. I'm not going. I'm going to follow you. He says, we have come to believe and to know. It's faith and reason working together. He says, I have believed and I know. And he said, I am not going away. Brothers and sisters, I think that is the response each one of us should give to the Lord Jesus. No, Jesus, I'm not going away. You have the words of eternal life. And I have come to know you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You're my Lord. What if the Bible is telling us that the plain facts of reality is just as it is written? It's not some fancy model, flourished and glittered description of reality. But the bare-bone facts. All have sinned, coming short of the glory of God. All are in need of salvation. And Jesus came to give himself, that only believing in him, we shall have everlasting life. Will we commit ourselves to him? Will we follow him? And when he asks us, do you also want to go away? May our response be, no, Lord. You save me. I will follow you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you so much for your salvation. Lord, as we have our eyes closed, I pray that we in our minds would all picture you on the cross. There you are, your body, your blood. Lord, now we know why you said that you give your flesh and your blood for the world. You died the death we deserved. You gave yourself for us that if we just trust you, we will have everlasting life. We see you, Lord. But we also see an empty cross. Because we know that you rose from the grave and you are alive today. And you are out in the world drawing people to yourself. All over the world, people are becoming yours. They're saying yes to you. You're gathering your people together. You are here this morning. And I pray, Father God, that we all would say yes to you. I pray that we would turn away from our own lives and turn to you. Father God, help us in this world to not be ashamed of you, even when sometimes we don't understand. Help us, Father, to follow you. That at the end of our lives, when we die, we'll be welcomed into your kingdom and we'll rejoice with joy unspeakable for how you led us, how your footsteps were there in front of us. Father God, help us. Be with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.